We celebrate Easter every single day, but I love the fact that we have a day set aside where we really get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I know there are those among us, or not necessarily here, but there are those who would very stridently tell us that it's Resurrection Sunday, and indeed it is. It's not Easter, that's a pagan celebration. Okay, that's fine. But I'm here to tell you the good news about Jesus, and if you want to call it Easter or resurrection, that's fine. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus, isn't it? So we have good news to tell and a great true story to tell that changes our lives, and that is why we are here. Would you turn to Mark chapter 16? Mark chapter 16, and we're going to take a look at picking up the rest of the story. If you were here with us on Friday night, we had a great time together on Good Friday service, and we spoke on from the crown to the cross. As he laid aside all his glory in heaven to come be like you and me, tempted in all points as we were, as we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. And he went to a cross. But this morning we get to talk about from the cross to the crown. Back to the crown again. Now we've been through days of nightmare, days of heartache, and days of agony, really. The torture that Jesus went through, the passion that he experienced, those things that he experienced for you and for me. Say it with me again. He did it for me. He did it for me. The one we thought was the Messiah has been crucified. His body lays in a tomb. But you can't keep him there. We've got depressed disciples. They're discouraged. They're confused. There's fear. In fact, they've gone into hiding. Remember, they didn't get it. Jesus had tried to tell him what was going to happen, but they simply couldn't hear it. Peter interrupted him at one point to say, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen to you." Remember what Jesus did then? He rebuked Peter, didn't he? He said, "That's not the message of the Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan." Other disciples interrupted him while he was telling them he was on this way to be crucified, beaten, crucified, and put in a tomb. And they interrupt him and say, "Well, Lord, what's really important right now to us is, can we have the seat on the right and to the left in your coming kingdom? We don't, you know, care what you're really going to go through." They just didn't have ears to hear. And he comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey back and getting ready for the Passover celebration, but there's cheers, the cheers of the crowds, and fantastic thing. And all of a sudden, a few days ago now, the high priest stirred crowds to jeer him, to call out for him to be crucified and vilified. And he's nailed on a cross between two thieves, and one even jeers him from there. All departed. All left. Except the women, and of course John was at the cross. But then they followed him from afar. The women saw where they laid his body, in a tomb hewn out of the rock where no one had been placed before. Silence. One day. 2 days. 3 days. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?'" Now, I want you to get the picture of this. This is absolutely fantastic. These ladies are probably dragging through the darkened streets still at this time, nearly 100 pounds of spices to prepare the body of Jesus. This is no minor detail they're attending to. When they're going to embrace and prepare this body, in this climate, there were the rapid decay of the bodies took place because of the climate, and the stench was terrible. And so they would bring spices, nearly 100 pounds. Now the Sabbath has passed, and they wanted to get to their Lord as quickly as possible. Folks, do we have the same passion for Jesus? I love it. It's our first opportunity, and nothing's going to keep us away. I'm going to go to church. How are you doing this morning? Come on, let's get up. Let's go to church. Let's go find Jesus. Let's go see him. Let's bring him. Let's share him together. What passion, what love, what hunger. I love it. I love it. You can see they get the spices ready, 100 pounds of spices. They're on the way. They're dragging the spices through the street, and they're almost to the cross, and one of them gets this wonderful question. "Gee, how do you think we're going to get in there? I just love it. Their love is driving them on. Hey, you think we can find somebody to roll that stone away? What do you think? That's a big rock. Faith drives us on. Obstacles can't keep us away. They didn't think of the obstacles. They thought of their Jesus. They didn't think of the hassle. They just thought of the one whom they loved. And this was something they could do, and they were going to do it. Now, faith is rewarded. The Bible says what? How many remember what the Bible says about faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So they move in faith, and they come prepared, but I love it. God beats them to the cave. When your faith drives you on, led by love, watch what Jesus does for you. The stone is rolled away, verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. God takes care of His own business, folks, and He rewards faith. Now, I want to see this in some really fantastic ways. Now, other Gospels tell us that there was an earthquake and the stone was rolled away. And we also read about when Jesus died. We know that there was thunder and there were earthquakes. And the veil in the temple was rent or torn in two from which way? From top all the way down to the bottom. Now that's powerful. God rewards faith. And He blessed Jesus' obedience. And what we have here is a stone rolled away. Sin is rolled away. The final sacrifice for sins has been made. Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, has been crucified. And now, in the temple, fantastically, from the moment that He cries out, "It is finished," we have this veil torn. Now, I want to take just a moment and consider that with you. The Bible says the skies were darkened, and that began at the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour was probably noontime. And according to texts, the very same moment, the high priest Caiaphas was dressed in his full priestly garments. And it begins his procession, where he would enter the temple courts to slaughter a pure, spotless Passover lamb. Remember, Jesus was killed on what? On Passover. A lot of lambs were slaughtered in the temple courts in those hours of darkness. Darkness spread over the face of the entire land. Remember, every family had a lamb unless the family was too small and then they shared it with someone else. Every household had a lamb. And the Bible tells us that this supernatural darkness lasted until the ninth hour. Interestingly, probably until about the time that the sacrifices of the Passover lambs would be coming to a conclusion. And in that final moment, Jesus musters up His final breaths and His final strengths, and out comes this cry, "It is finished." Say it with me. "It is finished." And the Bible says He gives up the ghost. Mission complete. Deed given by God, fulfilled. Church, what happens next is astounding, and we don't spend much time on it. According to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, if you want to turn there, you're welcome to, Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54. Matthew 27, and we'll be coming back to Mark, so keep one finger in there. You put one finger in Mark, one finger in Matthew. You can do the other Gospels if you want till you run out of digits. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54. This is literally fantastic. It's astounding. Jesus cried out again, verse 50, with a loud voice, and He yielded up His spirit. Verse 51, then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after His resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. How'd you like to see Uncle Charlie back at your door? maybe I should say Uncle Jeremiah back at your door. Can you imagine? Woo! So when the centurion, verse 54, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. I'll bet, don't you? I'll bet they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now in the King James, the word behold is literally the Greek word eidou. Eidou, and it's a word that is pregnant and full of intense feeling and emotion. It's behold in the King James. But if you were going to translate this in today's language, you know what it would come out like? It would be, wow! That's what it would be. Wow! Shock. Amazement. Wonder. And it's like Matthew is saying, wow! Get a load of what's coming next, gang! Now just track with me here on just a couple of points. There were two veils inside the temple. One was at the entrance to the holy place. There's a whole study on this that we'd be happy to share with you if you have questions about it. But then there's a second veil at the entry to the Holy of Holies. And only one time a year could the high priest enter beyond that veil. It's where the Ark of the Presence was. The Ark of the Testimony was in there. And only one day per year on the Day of Atonement. Now, you may not have thought much about that veil, but in this temple, the records are that this veil is 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, an entire handbreadth in thickness. Now, a handbreadth was four fingers or digits together and about 3 inches thick. 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, and about 3 inches thick. An early Jewish writing stated that this veil in front of the Holy of Holies was so heavy, it took 300 priests just to move or manipulate it. It was literally impossible for a man to tear. At the exact moment, now get a load of this. This is why Matthew said, wow! At the exact moment, Jesus is saying, it is finished! Breathing his last on a cross at Golgotha, Caiaphas is standing at his station at the inner part and court of the temple, finishing his sacrifices as an evil man, by the way, his sacrifice of the spotless Passover lamb. And at the same moment that Jesus declares, it is finished, miles away, inside the temple of Jerusalem, God is saying, it is finished, it is complete, and like the invisible hands of a mighty God, takes the top of this veil and he begins to rip it from the top all the way down to the bottom. And at that moment, every continued sacrifice of an animal in that temple was done, was finished, because the final Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for sins had been committed and it was done. What a glorious scene. Can you imagine just even the sound of that ripping, tearing fabric, the deafening, ripping sound? What do you think Caiaphas might have been thinking then? At the very least, wow! Yeah, maybe it was, oops! The Holy of Holies no longer contained the true mercy seat. The true mercy seat, Jesus, and his blood shed was hanging on a cross. And you and I come to him, not still hanging on a cross, but to him who is the mercy seat, through the blood that was shed, sprinkled, poured out, the resurrected Christ, proving he indeed is the Lord, and we come to God through him. The early sacrifice, the earthly sacrifice of lambs, was done. What a powerful thing. You see it? Let me tell you another story. True story. You know, the earth cooperates with God. If God can't get any people to cooperate with him, the earth will cooperate with him. Remember what Jesus said when they said, tell your disciples to hush up. We don't want them crying out this praise. Do you remember? Well, if they don't do it, who's going to cry out? If I can't get these people to cooperate, the rocks will cry out. When the King James And your King James Bible says the earth rent about 250 an hour. No, when it says it rent, the earth, that Greek word for earth is the word ges, G-E-S, and it literally means the whole earth. And when it is the word quake, the Greek word is seizo. Now, and that means literally to shake, to agitate, to create a commotion. Now, what do we have? We have seismographs that check the intensity of earthquakes. And the early church leader Origen declares there were great earthquakes at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Now, creation, folks, obeys the Creator. Creation recognizes the Creator. The waves obey Jesus. The water turns to wine at His command. Fish and bread multiply at His touch. The water solidifies so He can walk across it. The winds cease when He speaks to it. Jesus' death was literally traumatic for creation. He is the Creator. And the earth literally shook at the trauma that had taken place and shuddered at the death of its Creator. The earth, the rocks rent, they split. The Greek word there is schizo. You ever heard of anybody being schizo? It means literally to rend, to tear, to violently tear asunder, to terribly fracture. Faith is rewarded. And now you've got 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. You remember how God was at the birth of Jesus? All the angels in the sky, and the sky lights up, and the shepherds are out in the field quaking, and you've got an angel declaring the good news, and there's songs, and there's rejoicing. You've got 1 day now after crucifixion. You've got 2 days. You've got 3 days. And can you imagine God saying, "That's it, it's over, come on out!" And the earth says, "Let's roll that stone away, boys. Jesus is alive. He's alive." And get a load of the message from God. Listen to the message. Verses 5 through 8 of Mark 16. Back to there. Mark 16, verses 5 through 8. The ladies come up to the stone and it's been rolled away. They see an angel. And the message, look at the message. Love, excitement, acceptance. Verses 5 through 8, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Verse 6 of Mark 16, but he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him?" Verse 7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter." I love that. Just say with me, will you? "And Peter, that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." And he said, as he said to you, "Go tell his disciples." Oh, yeah. Be sure you include Peter. He's going before you into Galilee. There you'll see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. "He's risen. He's not here." You won't find him in the old experience now. You won't find him in man-made tombs that try to encase the Lord in a convenient little box. You won't find him there. Jesus bursts out in fresh life, and he's not there. He's alive. Don't be frightened. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you think you'd be frightened? Yeah, I think I would. Great message. Encouraging, full of life, full of encouragement, full of... I still think I'd be a little frightened. Excuse me? I think I'd be a little frightened, but his first words, "Fear not. Fear not." You'll find him as he said to you. What does the Bible say? Seek the Lord. He will be found of you. When you search for him with... How much? With all your heart. He wants to be found by you. Jesus wants to be found. But like these ladies, we put some energy into it. We get up. We rise up. We seek him. We spend time in the Word. And we come in fellowship together. We come to church so we can seek Jesus together. You've got to get out of the comfort zone sometimes and look for the Lord. Listen to His message. Don't be afraid. Go and tell, because others need to know the good news. And Peter. Just a little aside. Most of the book of Mark is a narration, if you will, to Mark from the Apostle Peter. We read the story of Mark, how he had abandoned the Apostle Paul and Barnabas on their first apostolic journey. And when they wanted to go out on journey again, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, and Paul said, no, he ain't going. He left us the first time. But we read later about Mark coming under the wing, if you will, of Peter the Apostle. And he became a very useful, powerful, precious man of God in his own right. And at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul says, bring John Mark with you. He's profitable to me in the ministry. And so you see a restored man of God. And he was really a protege of the Apostle Peter. Now, just an aside here. Maybe it wasn't important enough for the other gospel writers to include in their stories. But the story of the grace and the love and the mercy of God, the love of Jesus, was important enough for Peter to make sure Mark had it in his. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, Jesus loves you. He died, was buried, and rose again for you. And so when He says, go tell my disciples, I want you to see your own name in there where it says, and Peter. So what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to have you say that with me. That moment is now here. And Kevin. Say it one more time. Say your own name in there. And Kevin. One more time. And Kevin. Now turn to each other and say, no, He said me, not you. No. Now you can look at each other and say, it's okay, we're all there. We're all there. He appears to Mary Magdalene, who tells others, the other disciples were mourning and weeping, and He goes and He tells them, He's risen again! And the Bible says these men of faith and power didn't believe her. He appears to two disciples on the road. Talks to them about Himself, really, from the Scriptures. What a powerful time that must have been. They run and tell the other disciples, and they don't believe Him. Jesus still can't get His disciples to believe Him. But thank God He's full of life and mercy. Amen? Verses 14 through 18. Watch what He does next. 14 through 18 of Mark chapter 16. Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. You know, it's like He shows up and goes, guys, I still can't get you to believe me. What's wrong with you? But they were discouraged. They were disheartened. They just didn't get it. And now we begin to see that they will. Because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, perhaps you say to me this morning, but Pastor Kevin, verses 9 through 20, I believe it is, 9 through 20, they're not in the original manuscripts. There are only about two original manuscripts that leave space, and it looked as if on those earliest of manuscripts that they understood there was different endings that would come, but they didn't have them. Every other manuscript virtually has these verses in them. Now, even if that's not sufficient for you, every thought contained in these scriptures is confirmed elsewhere in the Gospels and in the New Testament. So what we have is the reality of the truth of what Jesus did and what He does. The Bible in the King James says Jesus upbraids them. He rebukes them. Odidzo. He rails at them. It really says that in the Greek. He's just so, come on guys, you've got to start believing this stuff. He upbraids their unbelief, their hardness of heart, really, their faithfulness, or rather their unfaithfulness. And hardness of heart, skeloradika, is hard-heartedness, destitution of perception. You guys, I've been with you for 3.5 years. It's time to get this. Okay, let's go over this one more time. I died. You saw that. I was buried. You saw that. Now it's really me. I'm alive. Remember, even in another gospel, Thomas says, come on, touch my hands, touch my side. It's me. And all of a sudden, can you put yourself there? Have you ever been discouraged? Ever? Ever been discouraged? Disappointed? Something didn't happen you wanted to have happen? And you don't know, man. Or maybe there's a big problem. You do not see your way through it. You sit down in the middle of the night. Maybe everybody all around you can sleep, but you can't. You're up all night long or up in the early morning hours. And you just don't know how you're going to get through this thing. And how's there going to be a breakthrough? That's how these guys were. They didn't get it. And then Jesus shows up. And he holds out his hands. And he looks at them and he says, it's a new day, guys. Time to get this. Time to believe. Jesus, risen again from the dead. Jesus, resurrected. Jesus, exactly who he said he was. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Jesus, the mighty King of Kings. Jesus, the message of hope. God rents a veil from top to bottom. And he says, now, it's a new day. The way is open. Come through the blood, the life of Jesus. And he moves from the cross to the crown in verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. It's done. It's complete. I got things on the right track here. It's not the blood of animals that's going to help anybody. It's the final sacrifice for sin that's been done. There's resurrection life. The grave couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Sickness, illness, he took those things upon himself. And now it's a new day of resurrection life. Praise God for resurrection. Amen? Amen. And now he wears a glorious throne, or glorious crown, seated on a glorious throne. Their response, they get it. Now they get it. And you see the proof of it in verse 20. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now they're believers. Now they've got it. Now they see what Jesus was trying to tell them all along. Now it makes sense. The glorious fact remains, church, that today we celebrate Jesus. There's an empty tomb. There's a changed group of disciples from dejected to delivered. Now there's a church birthed and begun. Hope is ours because Jesus moved from the cross to the crown. Easter, time of celebration, resurrection. Good news, isn't it? How many are rejoicing in the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Jesus, we worship you and we adore you. We thank you and we love you. We give you the praise. We couldn't have done what you did for us. We know that. But we are all so grateful that you did. And now, Lord, today we pray that you will be enthroned on the throne of our hearts. Lord, we come and we celebrate you. What rejoicing. We're not going to let the earth do our part. The world doesn't have to do our part. We're going to praise you with our voices, with our hearts, with our palms upraised. We give you praise. Such worship and such thanks. Jesus, we give you thanks again. And we love you because you first loved us. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, let this be the day you do so. He wants to be Lord of your life. What does that mean? It means surrender. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of sins. He'll do that. He's a good God. If you want to pray up here, we'll have time after the service to be able to do that. We'll be honored to do that for you. If you need healing in your body, we're honored to pray for you about that as well, because we know God heals. It's part of the provision of what He did for us at Calvary and resurrection. Enjoy the Lord most of all. We'll take time. There'll be refreshments out in the lobby. And thank you for coming. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your friends. And most of all, keep enjoying Jesus, the reason that we are all here, the one who moved from a cross to the crown. God bless you. Be released. Have a fantastic Resurrection Sunday.